You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You are listening to Guide Dog Blogs on RNIB Connect Radio, and today we are speaking to James O'Driscoll. Now, before we talk about your first dog, Dean, James, I'll let you share a little update with us.
Yes, I've been matched for my fourth dog from the London team. Young lad, his name's Fraser. We've met, he's had a sleepover, so we can get used to each other, and we've done a couple of block walks, local block walks, and yeah, we start training next week, so we're on class.
How was the matching visit when you've met Fraser? What was he like?
A lot more energy compared to what I'm used to with Disney. Disney being 10 years old and this one not even two. There was a lot more energy there, a lot more curiosity, because it wasn't so what was going on, where things were. You know, you could feel his curiosity and his intelligence and how clever he is, because he just wants to find things out, wants to know what was going on. And, you know, his level of play with my son and myself, it was great interaction. Really, really great interaction.
When you get matched, for those that don't know who are listening, you know, you have to do a little practice walk to kind of see how you get on with a potential match. How was that first walk for you?
It was a little bit different or slash weird, because guide dogs don't sit anymore. They used to, from my experience, all the dogs I've had, they'd get to a curb. To indicate a curb, they would sit. Or if it was a step, they'd put their front paws on it. Now he's sort of like, he'll just stand. And it's like a solid, I'm a statue stand. And I wasn't used to that. So I've got to get used to that. And the reinforcing of good behaviour with treats and food. Again, it's something I'm not used to. Disney eats, you know, he'd have two meals a day and that'd be it, you know. But with Fraser, it's a constant more of a grazing throughout the day with his behaviour things. He's got frozen Kong to work with enrichment stuff to get him comfortable and used to stuff like that. So it's going to be a learning curve for me, definitely, on this class. Definitely a new approach to training with the guide dog.
Before we let you go, have you noticed any particular characteristics of Fraser that would be a bit unique, or do you think, you know, it's a bit too early to tell?
I think it's a bit too early to tell, but he was able to take a pair of my... I collect sunglasses. I know it's not a cliche for a blind person to have sunglasses, but or a stereotype kind of thing, but I collect Oakley sunglasses, different shapes and stuff. And he managed to take a pair off the table without me knowing, and he didn't chew them. He didn't break them, he didn't, he was just holding them in his mouth, just walking around holding them in his mouth. He's really, really gentle. Again, he, like Dean, my first dog, he likes to hold soft stuff. But my Oakleys are not soft, and thankfully, they're still in one piece. So we'll have to keep an eye on that one, I think.
Hey, maybe he wanted to wear them, maybe he's a secret fashion icon. Well, you never know. Thank you very much, James. So... I'm hoping we can catch up with you after you've done your training with Fraser, and then we can have a bit more of a chat about your training experience and how it compares. Now, before we talk about your individual guide dogs, you know, when you got your first guide dog, what was it that convinced you, I actually want to apply for a guide dog? What happened then? What made you apply for one?
Well, actually, it was kind of taken out of my hands. After I was registered blind, I was put into the system with... the Blind Association down in Kent, and people came around and they said, oh, you need to speak to this people, that people. They put me in touch with different people. I just lost my sight. I didn't know what was going on. And someone from Guide Dogs came out and said, I had to do my long cane training, and I was learning to do that. And while I was on the long cane training, a dog came up and they said, it'd be perfect. So we're going to match you, we're going to do a walk, and we'll take you from there. So within 9 months of being registered blind, I was actually on guide dog training. It was very, okay, this is what I need to do. This is what I'm meant to do. I'm blind now, so blind people have guide dogs. And yeah, that's how it all started, really. That was 27 years ago now.
Let's talk about Dean. Tell me, what was Dean breed-wise, and, you know, how was he when you got him?
He was he's very sensitive, very laid-back lab retriever, and he was gold in colour. Quite a tall dog. He was quite stocky, but very, very chill, very quiet, very relaxed. He didn't like fireworks, and I'd like to deal with that with, talking to the vets and different bits and pieces, especially around New Year's Eve and, like, obviously November the 5th. But yeah, he was great. Had a habit of crossing his paws whenever he lay down.
Has he had any other kind of particular things that made him unique?
A lot of people said he had really good facial expressions and compared him to, like, Wallace and Gromit sometimes. But they said that about my other dogs as well. But he used to, when I first started with him, one of the things, he liked to carry things around in his mouth, and he had a little teddy bear, and I actually had to attach it with a bit of string to his harness and walk around the street with this little Winnie the Pooh teddy bear in his mouth. He'd put it down if we stopped at the curb, then he'd pick it up and he'd trot off, and he grew out of that phase. But it did cost me £10.99 once in Sainsbury's.
I mean, I quite love that even when he was working, he'd still want his little toy, but not so much that it would disrupt him from work because he'd put it down when he needed to stop at a curb. Did it affect his
Yeah.
work when he had that toy, or was he really working really
No.
well despite the toy?
His work was absolutely brilliant. It wasn't, didn't affect him at all. He was really good, being new to being blind and new to guide dogs in that community. Was, no pun intended, but an eye-opener. So he was a great first dog because he was so laid back, so sensitive. It was easy for me to get used to the pattern sort of working with a dog. Actually, I'm not being funny, just picking up after a dog after it's spent. You don't think about that. Well, coming from a sighted person to a blind person, you don't think about everything that's involved with guide dogs. You just see, oh, they're blind, they must have a guide dog. Oh, there's a blind person with a guide dog. You don't think about all the training that person has to go through, all the training the dog has to go through, the time in the food, the vet visits, the cleaning up after them, the grooming. I don't think people realize how much is involved and what actually goes on.
What was Dean like as a worker?
He had a sense of humor. There was one time he, where I used to live, you'd walk past the pub and people would leave food and bits and pieces, like drop stuff and that. But there was a bus stop just past it. And I knew, like, if I had to go to the right to clear the bus stop, and it was a shelter kind of thing. And there was one time he went for something on the floor. I imagine it to be food because it was known for it. So I corrected him and we carried on walking off. I thought, I'm sure I'm supposed to, I'm meant to move here. I'm sure I'm. But no, he walked me straight to the edge of the bus shelter. And he made sure he was clear, but I got clipped. And people at the bus stop said he'd done that on purpose because people were just coming up saying, "You okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine. I just didn't line up why he didn't go right." Someone actually said, "You told him off and he walked you into that. He'd done it on purpose, mate. 100% he'd done it on purpose." So he had a sense of humour, but he was such a great dog. Great, such a great first dog. Gentle around kids. Kids loved him. He loved being around kids. And yeah, he'd done his job.
When we talk about training, how did you find your first experience of training? You mentioned, people aren't aware, just how much goes into it. How was your first experience of the training you had to do with Dean?
Personally, I probably put a lot of pressure on myself. It's quite intense. I was in Wokingham Centre, and you literally move in there for 3 weeks, and you're 24/7 with the dog to learn everything all about it. And yeah, it can be quite daunting. Imagine someone like who's recently lost their sight and they're thinking about a guide dog and stuff like that. Yes, it can be a bit daunting. It can be a bit, oh wow, what am I doing? Afterwards, the reward of having someone with you by your side, guiding you along in a partnership, he's Starsky, I was Hutch. That's how I used to say it. And it's so worth it. It's a little bit nervous, a little bit scary, and there's a lot to take on board, but you adapt and you learn. And it's just worth it. It really is worth it.
Fantastic. That is really quite interesting. Quite a unique personality too. Thank you very much, James. We will catch up with you soon, but thank you very much for telling us about Dean, the toy-loving guide dog, here on RNIB Connect Radio.
You're welcome.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favorite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.